Support for KPLU Studio Sessions comes from the Shack Art Center, presenting the exhibit Chuck Close Prints, Process and Collaboration, through September 5th at the Shack Art Center in Everett. More information at shack.org.
It's that mighty engine of rhythm, Pearl Django, with special guest propeller, mandolinist Don Sternberg. Hit it, guys! Thank you. That's Pearl Django with their special guest, Don Sternberg, on mandolin. I know that song so well, and I'm having one of those moments. I can't think of the name of that tune.
That's called Something Special.
Something Special.
The Jim Hall tune.
Yeah. That was Michael Gray, violinist with Pearl Django. And Don Sternberg, so great to have you here.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
I think maybe most people might think of the mandolin, they think of either Italian wedding music or bluegrass. And I know that you've had quite a bit of exposure to bluegrass and have played quite a bit of it as well. But what got you into jazz? Which did you start with?
Well, I kind of started when I first started to learn to play the mandolin. I was starting with jazz. My teacher was a jazz mandolin player. And also I grew up listening to jazz. My father's record collection had me turned on all that stuff. But then when I started playing professionally, the first band I was in was a bluegrass band, so it kind of all happened at the same time.
Was it a difficult transition to make to those two kinds of music? Are they similar in any way, do you think?
Well, I the way it winds up is I play the same two or three licks on any gig, no matter what kind of music it is, you know.
It just depends on what kind of hat you've got.
Right. Yeah, I play the mandolin the same kind of, no matter what style of music. But.
I know that you had some pretty big name bluegrass associations with people like Homer Burns and I don't know if you ever knew Bill Monroe or.
No, I think I got to meet Bill Monroe one time, but my teacher was Jethro Burns from.
I was thinking Homer and Jethro, and I got it backwards.
Yeah, that's the guy. Jethro was half of the great comedy team Homer and Jethro, but he was also the greatest mandolin player in his time, and certainly the greatest at jazz mandolin. He was like the pioneer of playing swing and stuff on the mandolin.
Does it have much of a history in jazz mandolin?
Not that much. Although you go back to the earliest jazz. Like in New Orleans, when I visited the Jazz History Museum in New Orleans, and one of the first things I saw there was a mandolin that was owned and operated by Freddie Keppard, the cornetist that was concurrent with Louis Armstrong. And I gather that mandolin was used in some of those early bands to play some of the dance tunes. And so there was some doubling going on. But then in terms of recorded examples, the first improvising jazz mandolin player probably was Dave Apollon, who was also a comedian, and he worked with Mae West in vaudeville, but he was probably our greatest mandolin virtuoso even to today. And so in the 30s and late 20s, he recorded and improvised. And after that, it becomes Jethro, as I mentioned, and... two guys who played electric mandolin with Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, one being Tiny Moore and the other being Johnny Gimble. And those are our pioneers.
Yeah, very much so. Well, time for more music. I took the train up from Tacoma because I've sworn a mighty oath never to drive to, in, or from Seattle again. And so I took a trip on a train. And I always thought about you.
Yeah.
And I understand there's a vocal in the
office. I was my first day in town yesterday, and I was driving around Seattle, and I saw they had Mercer Street. So I thought we better do a Johnny Mercer song. One and the same here.
Thought about you. One, two, one, two, three. Thank you.
took a trip on a train, and I thought about you. I passed a shadowy lane, and I thought about you. Two or three cars parked under the stars by a winding stream. Moon shining down on some little town, with each beam the same old dream. At every stop that we made, I thought about you. And when I pulled down the shade and I really felt blue, I peeked through the crack, looked down at the track, the one leading back to you. And what did I do? I thought about you. And when I pulled down the shade, I really felt blue. I peeked through the crack, looked down at the track, the one leading back to you. And what did I do? What did I do?
John Steinberg on mandolin and vocal with Pearl Django, and everybody's smiling just now. It's so great to hear you. How did you guys get together? I was about to say hook up, but I don't think that would be a problem.
We met Don at a Wintergrass festival, and we kind of played, David and I and Don played a little private kind of party up in one of the hotel suites. And after that, we decided that, well, that was so much fun that we should do guest spots on each other's sets. And we managed to do that, and we still were speaking to one another. So from there on, it's been, you know, just been fun. And
yeah,
we did it. We did a great show at the. We did a, like a kind of a late show at Wintergrass that one time, and you kind of joined us for the whole set and more.
That's right.
I believe.
Yeah. We were fast friends, so we met at that festival, and
Were you playing like Django style or bluegrass or somewhere in between or all kinds of stuff or what?
Yes.
That's all I wanted to know. David Lang is on accordion, and he won't get to say anything because there's no microphone near him. But I'm just thinking. I think your sound is such a great addition to the band. I know you guys have been playing for so many years, but it really rounds it out. And when you took your solo just now, Don had such a big smile on it on his face, and we all did too.
I'm his biggest fan.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I've told
him that before, so it's okay.
Yeah. Don, do you travel with a band, or do you tour, or
I have a trio. Anyway? I'm based in Chicago, and there's a guitar player, Andy Brown, and bass player Jim Cox, who play with me frequently, and yeah, we'll go anywhere anybody asks us to play.
I was reading up in a website called Mandolin Cafe, where you were described as America's foremost mandolinist. And good, you're nodding yes.
No, I'm just shaking.
I was afraid you'd be modest. And you know, I had no idea that you know such a website existed, or that there was so much interest in mandolin. And it's a great sound and a great instrument. And you do some teaching as well, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
And there's a lot of interest in mandolin and jazz mandolin today.
Yeah, it's a real tight knit community, and it's kind of a growth industry too. More and more people are getting interested in the instrument, and we have. You know, camps and events around the country, around the world, where people come and study for a few days, maybe a week. And like at that festival that Michael was mentioning, Wintergrass, a lot of that was going on too, workshops.
I think that's really what got me to comment on David's accordion playing, because there's so many, you know, tedious jokes about accordions and stuff, and it's such a wonderful instrument and such a great sound. Especially in the hands of a player like him.
Right. It has to be played by him, and then it's a great sound.
Yeah. Well, there are musicians of every instrument who have much to answer for in this world. When you're doing these international things, and the mandolin is an ubiquitous instrument around the world in all different mm-hmm. kinds of music, that must be a lot of fun to... You like to learn licks of different kinds of international music.
Yeah, that's where the fun is for sure. Is we have these powwows, and you know, we compare notes about how a classical mandolin player might handle something versus a swing player or a bluegrass player. And
there's a body of classical work for mandolin.
Oh yes, in Europe especially.
Does it come from a particular period? Is it still extant?
Well, some of the great composers for mandolin music were Italian composers, and you have the opera stuff, of course, Verdi and Vivaldi and stuff. There are mandolin parts in some of those pieces.
Oh, I had no idea.
As well, but the mandolin culture is really well developed, and especially in Germany, they do mandolin orchestras over there.
Really?
Where, you know, the family of instruments is utilized. You know, we have mandola. Mandocello, mando bass. I kind of joke on stage when I introduce these guys. We have the upright fretless mando bass, and the six string overgrown mandolin, and the bowed fretless mandolin, and of course the bellows mandolin over here.
But the orchestra is like in Germany, also in Japan, and in Germany, I think I heard that there's at least 500 mandolin orchestras. It's a community thing, you know, like a social and educational thing as well as the music.
And in Japan too, but there couldn't be a mandolin native to Japan. It's an import. Right?
No, they got interested in the Italian style, kind of the type of instrument that if you looked up mandolin, I was going to say in a dictionary, but I guess it'd be on the internet. If you looked it up, you'd see a picture of a instrument with a deep body, like we call that a bowl back mandolin or authentic mandolin, or even Neapolitan mandolin, and that's the style that caught on with the classical musicians all around the world, in Europe and Japan as well.
Would look a little bit like a lute, I guess, only
that's
smaller.
Right. Exactly. The mandolin is a descendant of the lute, and somewhere there in Italy centuries ago, it kind of morphed into the smaller version, and I'm told that the word mandolin is Italian for almond, referring to that shape,
like
that kind
almond.
Of teardrop shape. Yeah. A lot of people think that the word mandolin in Italian means out of tune, but the fact of the matter is it really means almond.
Yeah. I remember once reading a quote from, I think it was from the Baroque period, from a lutenist, it was something like, if a man playeth the lute for 50 years, he will spend 45 of them in tuning his lute.
You're right.
Can we have one more tune before we
get? Sure can.
What's the name of this one, Don?
This is a little tune called Donnybrook.
Who wrote this one?
This is a... Oddly enough, it's one I made up myself, and the quick story on this is it's a gypsy jazz tune, so I'm real happy to be playing it with these great artists who play that style all the time. And in that style, minor swing is kind of a popular thing, and I said, well, what about some major swing, too? So we put the two together, and we get a little Donnybrook here. One, two... Thank you.
Thank you.